Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to start this episode. Is it 23.5?
It is 23.
Wow. It's coincidence.
Serendipity.
I'm Mike Bonner. He's Montana. And the reason why we were saying Montana Samuels, I guess I should give first and last names. I said my last name.
They know who you are at this point.
The reason why we were in awe of our 23.5 episode is today we're going to talk about what really everybody is talking about, LeBron James.
LeBron?
And we need to, at this point, we've got LeBron out of the way. We need to give a shout out to Hannah, which we promised Montana's girlfriend we would give her a shout out. Since she doesn't enjoy sports, I wanted to kind of give that shout out immediately because who knows if she'll continue listening. Sorry. I will say, though.
So, Hannah, just go ahead and tune out. Same for like half the people.
I will say, though, before you tune out, I don't think this is a sports conversation, though.
I agree.
That's what I wanted to kind of throw out there is I thought of LeBron. I talked about LeBron. Sure, I talked to my friends about what it means for the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, but I think we can dive deeper into that conversation. And what really, there's a couple things that struck me about LeBron going to Los Angeles. The first thing
was, before you get too far, I guess we should just, for those of you who may not know, which
great idea.
Those who don't have Twitter. So LeBron left the Cavaliers, signed a 4-year, $154 million deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. That was on Sunday night.
And it was expected to, I at least thought it was going to go a lot longer. It seemed like that was a really quick.
Oh my God. Yeah. The free agent like whole fire sale is crazy. It's like Black Friday for free agents right now. It's insane.
The biggest chip fell and everyone's kind of following LeBron James. Grew up in Cleveland. This is the second time left them. And to me, when you look at both, you look at all three times, he's decided to go somewhere, whether it was from Cleveland or to Cleveland.
Sure.
The decision, when he went to Miami, he controlled the narrative.
Right.
When he returned to Miami, when he returned to Cleveland, Sports Illustrated broke that story. However, it was a piece that he penned to Cleveland. Right. Again, he controlled that narrative. And this time around, a tweet from the, according to the LA Times, LeBron's agency, Clutch Sports, with a K. We can talk about that too. I expect LeBron James to have a better
You know that
agency,
Twitter account wasn't verified? Unverified Twitter account tweeted out. It's crazy. Yeah.
But it's still, he controlled, they controlled the voice. And I think that's something that is really interesting. I think I was interrupting my own self in this story. He called Los Angeles Lakers a minute before, according to the LA Times, and said, "We're coming." A minute later, the tweet went out. And all three times, the biggest, I'm going to say star in the NBA, but you could make the argument in the United States, he's up there. One of the biggest stars in the United States.
He's probably in the same category as like Beyonce and like maybe a step below like Barack Obama.
He's one name, LeBron. You know, everyone knows who LeBron is. Sure. Either way, that's really interesting to me. There's a number of layers that interest me of this, but the first one being he's controlling his own narrative in a sports industry where leaks are known, unnamed sources are nothing. They're reported all the time. And he's controlled his own narrative throughout his entire career. Right.
I think that's the most impressive part to me is we've talked about this a lot in preparation for this. It's a league that for so long was based around the GM was in control. So it was, I think you said in the email you sent for like Gary Payton, Karl Malone, John Stockton,
Charles Barkley, Patrick,
the list goes on. If you don't win a championship for so long, it was on the GM, but the player was tasked with all the blame. And there's a loyalty element to that too, where like if you were to leave in that era, you'd have been a traitor. You'd have been basically it's like career suicide and at least how your legacy looks.
Yeah.
But LeBron has totally changed that in the sense that now he's empowered the players to say, he's pulled the veil back on the notion that everything is about loyalty, because GMs are not loyal to players at nearly the cap that players were expected to be loyal to them. So he's just totally said, no, we make this league what it is. Donald Sterling is not on the court, which I'd say Donald Sterling, because that's the most egregious notion of all time, that guy has control over your
legacy.
Well,
we can even just look at the current Cavs owner, Dan Gilbert, when LeBron left the first time and wrote this letter of just angst and ridiculousness to LeBron James. And I think that's when we get into what Montana is discussing. I wanted to touch one more aspect on why the media aspect relates to it, because in terms of signing with teams or where he's going to go, it leaks out somewhere usually.
Whoa.
And yeah, and so someone else again is telling your story. Mm-hmm. Whether, and hey, maybe sometimes it is the player leaking to reporters and such.
Right.
But through LeBron's NBA career, he's really controlled that narrative of I'm going to tell my story. Literally twice he did it, in terms of the decision, announcing it with Jim Gray, or announcing it through a Sports Illustrated article. And this time it was a simple tweet, which I didn't know Clutch Agency existed. It's Clutch Sports Agency.
That's the Maverick Carter thing, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so this time, everyone now knows who Clutch Sports Agency is.
Well, and the thing, it's gotten better as well. So this is something LeBron... So, like, the decision was, like, the first decision where he's wearing that, like, strange, like, checkered shirt, and he's, like, in the chair or whatever. Yeah. That was not good. It was,
and he
like,
said it
objectively
wasn't good.
Bad. Right, and he admits it. The second one, the Sports Illustrated article, like, more tasteful, like, whatever. This one, he's, like, basically pulling a Jay-Z and Beyonce, where it's just, like, no rollout, we're doing it. Like, here it is. But you can tell this is something that he's almost prioritized in a way, where he understands that if you don't allow your story to be told the way you want it, someone will take your narrative and put it into their words. And he just decided he's not willing to do that. And he, like, the whole notion of like the Woj bombs thing,
yeah,
and that, it's cool that he, I don't, to me, it's interesting that he's decided I can do a better job of this, or I just want to be, I want to have control 110%.
Which is saying something too, that no one around was able to leak or anything. It's
right.
It shows to me,
it's got a tight circle.
Yeah. The Clutch Sports Agency is a tight circle.
Real tight.
As we talk about now the other aspect of what LeBron James means to the NBA, and it's what Montana was speaking about. I look at NBA players, and Michael Jordan sticks out because, one, he's viewed by many as the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James is in that conversation, but I think what makes them each stand out beyond basketball, beyond Wayne Gretzky, beyond, I was going to say beyond Babe Ruth, but actually in that aura of household names, because, the Babe Ruth of whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of the Michael Jordan of whatever. LeBron James has revolutionized the game. Much like Babe Ruth revolutionized baseball, no one hit home runs. They started hitting home runs. But Michael Jordan and LeBron James, they revolutionized the game off the court. People are buying sneakers because of Michael Jordan. LeBron James has sneakers because of Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant has sneakers. Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, yeah,
Steph Curry, even Under Armour. You know, Steph Curry has Under Armour shoes because Michael Jordan's shoes were
even
something.
Though, and even internationally, you see Klay Thompson now.
Right.
Stephon Marbury.
The player as a brand. Clutch Sports Agency is around because Michael Jordan made himself a brand. Be like Mike.
Exactly.
LeBron has revolutionized the game, is what Montana was saying. He has really, I think, put the power back in the players' hands, or actually has given the players power. I don't know if it was ever there to begin with.
I would say that it probably wasn't. Maybe Michael had a little bit of it. So never had, I think, Jordan had power in the sense with like his advertising and things like that. So maybe you could control like your advertisements, but never with the teams. It was always like, it's always been a team-first mentality throughout sports. But I think now,
Well, look at the retirements, the two Michael Jordan retirements.
Sure.
There was never a notion that, well, I'll just go play for the Spurs or the Lakers or the Pistons.
Right.
It was, I'll retire. And then later it was, okay, the Wizards because demanding
a
trade would...
He was like a part owner of the
company, right? Yeah, but even demanding a trade would have... somehow tarnished a legacy.
Right.
You know, well, you're a Bull. You're always going to be a Bull because Bird was always a Celtic
and
Magic was always a Laker and
Russell
was always, you know, a Celtic. Yeah. And then Wilt Chamberlain kind of gets into that, you know, well, is he a Sixer? Is he a Laker? Is, you know, what's going on there? So LeBron in the decision, he was really crushed for it. The decision was, what is he doing? He's just chasing championships. It doesn't count as much.
Well, and even from a media angle, people were upset about the way he did it because they were. I think it was like a Boston Globe report that used the word like preening. So he was killed for the way he did it because they were like, how distasteful, how dare he?
And it was, as LeBron said, he
could have gone about it a different way.
Should have done it maybe better than announcing on national television that he's leaving his hometown and crushing some fans. But I think, as you maybe said, because it was so unknown, well, why would you crush your hometown fans' dreams? Well, why is his hometown fans burning his jersey?
That's
afterwards?
Exactly. I was going to make the point where it's like, well, to
he
be honest,
he flipped the script on its head almost.
Yeah. And that we're really, really harping on this point, but the notion that prior to this, you had to lead the majority of your young life appeasing random people in a town that, like, many people, LeBron had a connection to Cleveland. Andrew Wiggins has no connection to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
John Wall and Bradley Beal don't have a connection to Washington, D.C.
Which, to me, LeBron has really given the definition of loyalty is
Absolutely.
It's not wearing a jersey. It's sending kids in your community to college.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's promoting, it's helping your community.
Which worth noting, he kept those nonprofits. The whole notion of that is insane. So like, how dare you, LeBron? Like, we're never going to win a championship now. It's like, he's sending kids to college.
But if we fast forward now, I read a USA Today story that, of course, there's always going to be some dummies burning jerseys or being idiots. But the same person who sparked that burning of the jersey, the USA Today interviewed him, and he said, no, he's always going to be part of Cleveland. He's done so much for this city. It's sad this time. There's no anger. And I think, again, that is flipped the script, where if you look in the past, I remember growing up in Massachusetts, and my favorite player of all time was Mo Vaughn, and he left for the Angels. And I remember going to the Angels game, and I was so pumped to see him play, and the fans were just booing, swearing. He was the worst thing ever. So to have even this idea that this superstar can leave and fans be sad but not hateful toward it is revolutionary.
Yeah. I feel like this has to be brought up, and like, we can talk about LeBron's interaction with this space later. But a big part of that to me is always really tough because it's objectively a lot of white people yelling really hateful things at this black person that, like, they've never spoken to in real life. They don't know their personal story, but, like, they like to go drink a bunch of beer and watch them play a sport really well. And then when they can't watch them do that for their team anymore, they're like, this guy sucks. It's like, dude.
It's extremely weird. Sports is a really weird realm where.
Yeah.
Things that would not be acceptable public anywhere else, screaming at another human for regardless of any reason.
Berating a grown man who you
another
have
grown
no
man.
Connection
yeah.
to.
It's. I've thought of that many times sitting in an arena, covering
or
a game.
We should say, or grown man or woman.
Sure. But most of the hecklers I've seen have been...
Oh, no, I was saying the players.
Oh.
The hecklers will go at that. Those are men. Those are mainly white men. I will go on record to say that.
It's just really bizarre that I don't understand why it's acceptable that we can scream at another individual.
It's crazy. Well,
and then actually you can scream and berate one person, but if that other person even acknowledges it, oh, they're such a loser.
How dare he? Like, in Boston, I don't mean to like pile onto Boston here, but like their relationship to how white people treat black athletes is real troubling, especially with like the Adam Jones stuff and all of that. I just saw Michael Che this Saturday in Boston. He's pretty infamous for the bus. It's the most racist place in America. So it's just so crazy. And then that doubles back to our point where these fans are allowed to berate their team when they're not performing well, but then they leave and they're like, how dare he?
And I think that
showed him nothing but respect.
Yeah, I think that, so that's one aspect, the fandom aspect, that players can't necessarily control. And that was like that too, even when players are traded. The right. player would have no say. Yeah, no say. And again, it has changed when Isaiah Thomas came back to the Celtics. They play this. Actually, it was a big thing because he was supposed to be honored during Paul Pierce's banner, and it was supposed to only be Paul Pierce's right. number. So it has changed a little bit in terms of trading, but even signing, there's still that gray area. But getting away from fans and just looking at
right.
the organization, as Montana mentioned, you have guys like Patrick Ewing or Charles Barkley mm-hmm. who are Hall of Famers, but in the discussion, the asterisk is always, but never won.
Right, which is crazy.
They never won. And Charles actually tried to chase one, whether it was Houston in sure. his late career and such. But that was so... It's chasing it is much different than what LeBron did, because LeBron went in his prime where right. Barkley was... He was in the twilight of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that changes a little bit. There wasn't this sense that, oh, Charles can just go play for the Bulls
right.
and win. Because he would have been, oh, those championships aren't real.
Exactly.
And so Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Gary Payton, Karl Malone, John Stockton, they're labeled as losers.
There's a lot of
people. They yeah. can't win the big game, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because they were loyal to their GM. So the GM isn't getting them talent.
Right.
But no one's saying, in fact, in point, I don't know who the GMs of those teams are.
Yeah.
Who knows? So they're getting labeled for their GM's lack of
inability
or even just luck. Like Michael Jordan sure. was really good.
Well, and like the whole Spurs thing, like David Robinson gets hurt, so right. they draft Tim Duncan. I do think.
So why would LeBron, that's what I'm saying, why would LeBron
right.
just kind of go
well and even before,
circle around the toilet
right.
in so, Cleveland when so I, they didn't get any players
I think
for
the LeBron thing's really interesting too, because while LeBron is organizing, not to accuse LeBron of tampering by any means, I know tampering's a big NBA topic these days, but so while LeBron is sort of organizing the Heat situation, the Celtics are being praised for their championship runs, which were the exact same thing. It's a big three,
mm-hmm.
but the GM did it, not LeBron. And LeBron was killed for going
right
to
the power of I'm going to choose
exactly.
which team.
It's a game of semantics based on who is making the power move, which is crazy that the players were never allowed to do that weren't allowed. It was frowned upon, like sort of socially, I guess, or what have
I
you.
I was but, even more because it was a sense of. Your resume isn't going to be as strong, which is a weird thing too. That in the NBA, rings and championships matter more than any other sport,
right? Because like Zaza Pachulia has two rings, and
right?
That guy's-
so I think that and it probably starts all with Bill Russell winning 11 out of 13,
right.
where there's this aura of you need to win a lot, not just win.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense that every championship you would have won, there would be an asterisk next to it.
Yep.
And that conversation when LeBron went there was it's not. Even if he wins five or six, it won't be like Michael's because he did it all one team.
Right.
I think that conversation's gone. People are still bringing it up, but it's not.
They bring it up with the Warriors, but
it isn't as.
It's not as like visceral or like
right.
like venomous.
It's not as highlighted as it was.
Yeah.
And every single conversation would be, oh, he did it with one team.
Right. Like imagine if Karl Malone joined like the Shaq and Kobe Lakers or something like that. Or like the Jordan Bulls or what have
right.
you. That would have been like catastrophic. That would have like blown minds or
well, even
people who lost their heads.
DeMarcus Cousins signs with the Warriors and... It's not expected, but it's not like, what is happening? How
right.
come everyone's... It makes sense. Like, why wouldn't...
People are upset,
stars
but not
flock
surprised.
With each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is different.
And you can argue... This is not our... the podcast we're focusing on, you can argue whether or not that's good for the product on the court, but regardless, it's putting power in the players' hands,
right?
Which I think is more important, to be totally honest. Because we fail to realize that these are human lives. So it's like, yeah, I could see why, like, if you have business opportunities in Los Angeles or California or New York, why would you not want to go there and play? It, like, simplifies the entire – and be close to your family. Like, do you really think that DeMar DeRozan, who's from – well, Toronto's a cool city, so I don't want to say that. But, like, someone like –
well, it doesn't matter. You could be in a really cool city if you're not away.
Like,
yeah,
look at, like,
matter.
Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol's from Spain, and he has to go to play in Memphis for his entire career. Like, do you really think Marc Gasol's, like, happy that, like – his family is living like,
and he might be. I think that would be the point of. There are different reasons why players go to places, and some of it is winning, some of it is whatever. But they're from. Hey, I was drafted by Cleveland,
the Orlando Magic, or
wherever you were drafted. Doesn't mean you have to stay there, even if you were born in the Cleveland area, which LeBron was. So I think, again, maybe I didn't really expect this when we started, but it just kind of clinked off in my head. It's the creating your own story. So by I am going to win championships and I'm going to do what I want because that's what I want from my career, just as much as I'm going to control the reporting because I want my story to be told this way. And it's something that really it shifted. And I would point, there's no one flip switch, but it started with obviously Michael Jordan and branding and the power of branding yourself,
right?
And then it really jumped off from there with the decision in LeBron saying, I'm gonna go where I can win, because everyone says I need championships,
right?
Well, why am I gonna, I can control where I'm going to go and win championships. Why would I wait for a GM that I can't hire?
Nope.
I have, this could, you know, be, oh well, he knew who was coming in or what players are coming. Still, he's not signing the contracts,
right?
Why would I wait for that? And even still, with the other aspect, even now, which was really fascinating to me, was he was a free agent this year. And then next year is the huge free agent class with Kawhi Leonard. And regardless, it goes on. There's a lot of all-stars.
Yep.
We didn't want to really get into a super sports talk. But he can now be in a place, and now he can have that conversation with players and say, hey, come. So he's almost, in a way, now truly as close as I think he's ever been to a GM, because they have some salary cap and now they can say, hey, come play with me, rather than being at Cleveland where Kyrie Irving was already the skeleton
they
was
had
there
to build the team for him to want to come back.
Right. He now has some ability to really play with the players he wants to play with, which again is adding to his narrative.
Right. And he just is really excited to have Lance Stephenson on the same team as him. No, I think it's interesting about LeBron that we can even have the like quasi closet GM discussion, because I don't know too many other guys that have that type of influence. I mean, you look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant didn't have that type of influence. And Russell Westbrook doesn't, I don't think, has that type of impact in Oklahoma City.
No, it's only LeBron.
It wasn't Carmelo. It wasn't D-Wade. It's not like James Harden. It's not anybody else. It's LeBron has that power because. I think maybe this is what I'll remember LeBron most for, but like the humanity element to LeBron as well. So not only is he like this incredible player, but he's like an organizer. He's a person that impacts culture and even like civil rights moments. I think truly he's a transcendent figure outside of... Take the basketball element away from it, I think he's still as impactful as he is on the court. He might not... I mean, this guy, he... Okay, so even moving back into the sports realm, he owns like an international soccer... What does...
He's
like a part owner of...
Small, I think like 2% owner of Liverpool.
Liverpool, right. I mean, this guy, he's impactful in ways that are not... It's like not recognizable from a sports figure.
No, it isn't. I think GQ wrote a story about him, and it talked about him speaking at a like CEO's meeting conference, something, and it was some of the world's most powerful people in terms of wealth and business sense, and they said it was really jarring to have this high school graduate who never went to college walk into this room and feel... appear, mm-hmm. and because who knows how he really felt, but he appeared so comfortable, so at home, had everyone hanging on each word he had, and that's extremely rare. Again, as we talk about players wrestling that power, players didn't speak to CEO executives and didn't speak to world leaders. It was the owners, and they had all the power. This is LeBron James taking it a step further, and this quote hasn't aged well, and certainly Michael Jordan has been more active in the community, but Michael Jordan saying, Republicans buy sneakers too. It was very much a
well, and that's, I kind of wanted to, I mean, that's the other thing with LeBron and Michael Jordan that's different, is their impact to, like, the communities in which, like, Michael Jordan has a really checkered past of community involvement, or just quite honestly the lack thereof. I mean, there was a time in the 90s where kids were getting killed for their Jordans, and he was dead silent. There was a time in the 2010s when kids were getting killed for their Jordans, and it's nothing. And I mean, you listen to, like, different rappers and things like that, and he, like, won't give them the time of day because of, like, perceived image things or whatever. And it's that's the other thing with LeBron to me, is he's almost like Barack Obama in this sense, because you're, like, looking for something to nitpick, and you're just like, it's not there. This guy's like, it's unbelievable.
It's really interesting, because when I say that, the detractors will say, well, the decision, actually one of my friends will say, the decision was so cringeworthy, you can't look away from that. And this whole podcast to me is saying the decision is what is certainly his legacy.
Sure.
But it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. The decision is objectively bad television.
Right.
Like, it wasn't well produced. It was heavy handed. He could have gone about it a different way. But what it did, like, okay, so it's like,
it controls his narrative.
Yeah.
It was something that no one had ever really done before.
Right.
A superstar in his prime, especially in basketball, because we see it in other sports, but even still, it's rare.
Basketball's like the most marketable, too. That's an important point, is like, you can see, LeBron's so marketable.
He is, but it's, like you said, I can't remember if you said it on pod or off pod, but when you think of LeBron James now, you think of LeBron James. You
right.
don't
yeah,
think
yeah, yeah.
of where Larry Bird, Celtics, yep. Michael Jordan, Bulls. In fact, you try to not even envision the Wizards.
Right.
Bob Cousy, Celtics, Magic Johnson, Lakers.
Yep.
Dr. J, Sixers. Anybody, you know, you're thinking, and then actually it was a hindrance, because, you know, Oscar Robertson and Bucks, I think, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about Will Chamberlain. Who did he play for? There's always Kobe Bryant, Lakers. We can go on and on. It's irrelevant. LeBron has risen above that kind of, in a sense that he is himself, which I think is, when you look at what he's done controlling that narrative, that's what he always wanted, was
my
story is told through my words.
Well, which is so look at the long picture of LeBron James. This is a person since, like, the age of 14. Like, how young was LeBron when he was on that SI cover? Like, 16?
I think he was maybe 16 or 17. He wasn't.
Like, one of those crazy AAU kids in, like, from the early 2000s.
But he started that, too. That was, I think he was one of the first.
But so even still, 16. This is like how old is he? 33, 34, something like that?
Yes, something like that.
So for the majority of his life, he has been in the spotlight and has not been able to. Well, he's certainly been able to reap the benefits of it. But when he came up, it was like, you're not really going to be in control of this. So it makes so much sense to me that as a person who saw that system from the early age that he did, he was like, now my, like, I've seen this. I've seen how it plays out for other people. That's not going to happen. It's like the Jay-Z lyric, right? I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. I just can't keep going back to, like, his impact, his legacy, like, whatever, but it really is. I legitimately do not think you've seen anybody that will impact not only the world of sports, but the way athletes interact with the business of sports the same way.
The power being in the player's hands. And I think you brought up a really good point, and he's been in it so long.
Yeah.
I think he's 33.
I think he's 33 or 34.
No, I don't think he's 34.
Okay.
Because I think he's either 32 or 33. Yep. He'll be 34 in December. But I think when you look, so he's 33, you're looking at, I'm trying to do math now, which is not good, right, when you think of him starting at like 17 being it. So, yeah, right, for more like half his life, really. For half his life, 17 years, almost two decades now, he's been in the media spotlight, been on ESPN, his high school games were on ESPN. So he knows the game. He's an expert, right, of how this all works. And in high school, everyone knows he was going number one. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows he was a millionaire. And they made the big hoopla of his mom buying him the Hummer. Clearly, right, he was going to be able to pay for it. There's no question. Like, even if the dealer said, don't worry about it. Like,
right. Or even if like Adidas gave it to him. Or
right. Like, oh,
before.
But it was perks for a high school. It's just things like that where other people are controlling your life.
Yep.
And he, I think, really more than any athlete that I can remember, and has faced some adversity because of it. And now I think it is a joke that someone would say that, but he's really controlled his narrative and has done what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see any negatives to it. I don't see what,
yeah.
And any issue is.
And to circle back to the for as bad, so the detractor of the decision, right? I think for as bad as that was, looking back at it 20 years from now, it'll be just as it'll be much better than it was bad, because it was only bad because it was strange and like not done well. But what it did is you would never have someone like Kevin Durant being able to control his legacy without LeBron James. And like,
I don't think Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors, and I don't think there.
No, not at all.
As you brought up, the Warriors being a super team is not new. How the Warriors were assembled as a super team is new.
Well, and you could argue that and this is getting like into heavy basketball, so we won't stay on it for too long, but you could argue that the Warriors super team assembly is the most impactful basketball trend of all time. You could definitely argue, because we've never seen like a a dynasty of this nature. That would never happen. LeBron is so intertwined with it. LeBron not going to the Heat means that Warriors never happens, and we just continue on with how basketball was for years on end. LeBron going to the Heat reshaped the entire basketball world.
Yeah, no, exactly, because we're talking about, and he's always leaked out, you know, playing with some of his best friends, yeah, whether it's
Banana Boat.
Yeah, I think that to me is more of a legacy, because there will be great players. Mm-hmm. There has been great players, but Michael Jordan stands out because of what he's done off the court.
Yes.
And everyone knows the Jordan brand. Everyone knows who Michael Jordan is.
Right.
LeBron, I think, will be that same way. He will be remembered for what he's doing off the court, or how he changed the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Free agency. That's that. He is almost the Curt Flood of baseball. You know, the first.
Okay.
He wasn't. I was the first designated hitter. I think I screwed that up there. But the first free agent in baseball.
It's the. Oh, God. I can't remember it now.
What were you going to say?
Who was the arbitration? The Raleigh Fingers? I don't know.
Regardless.
Yeah.
He brought true free agency to the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because for some reason, it never was okay for superstars to leave. As when LeBron went to Miami, we heard, oh, would Larry Bird go to the Lakers, or would Charles Barkley go to the Bulls? No, we wanted to beat them. The conversation is still there, but we're not hearing that direct conversation. We do hear, well, mm-hmm, Michael did it with one team, but we're not hearing, oh, well, like when, as I said yesterday, when DeMarcus Cousins went to the Warriors, no one's saying, oh, well, would so-and-so would I'm trying to think. Oh, Patrick Ewing, mm-hmm, go to the Lakers or the Bulls? So I think that'll be his lasting impact. And when we bring in what he did with GQ, that story, and how he commanded a room, I think there's certainly, much like Michael Jordan, there was a much more that happened beyond the basketball realm. LeBron James will probably be the same way.
Yeah. Well, and just to sort of tie into what you were saying about the free agency element too, what LeBron did was powerful, not necessarily because it allowed people to go to other teams. It's powerful because it allowed it gave players the confidence in their choices that it wouldn't tarnish their legacy to say, I don't really care what anybody says. Like, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. And that's what's going to happen. And eventually people will be okay with it or they won't. And it literally doesn't matter. Because prior to that, you wouldn't, like, if people would have come at, say, like, Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City and people call him like Cupcake or whatever. But before that, in the 90s, it just wouldn't, rather than doing that and dealing with like, oh, whatever, like they call me Cupcake, but like I'm much happier. He can, in the 90s, he just would not have done it.
Right.
Which one is more? I would argue every single time that Kevin Durant doing what makes him happier within his own life is a better scenario every single time.
Because if he stays in OKC, he's called a cupcake because he can never win the big one.
Right. It's just destroying the rock in a hard place that NBA players. Essentially, it's just saying like these like weird systems that are set up are stupid. So we're not going to follow them anymore because they don't benefit us.
To me, this is a really fascinating topic. I'd love to know what you guys think. Tweet at us, at Mike B. Bonner, SCT, and at Penned by Montana.
Penned by Montana.
Got that right. I love the conversation. I love the aspect of what it all means in changing how the sport is built or how teams are built. I know
it's a billion-dollar business.
Yeah, we're kind of wrapping up here, but I know, and pun intended, Drake released a new album.
Okay,
and I know that we wanted to touch on that quickly. Scorpion.
Yeah,
the NBA spoke at great lengths about it. I think the Utah Jazz actually tweeted out to the Raptors at Raptors. Okay, now we get it, and then they just had a scorpion emoji.
Well, see, this will really kind of show you what I think about the album without me having to tell you, but whatever.
He's under pressure. I can see the pressure because Montana's like, I got to do it quickly, but how do I?
Yeah, so the notion I wanted to go with for this podcast when we were thinking about it was, so you have these two guys who are monsters at the top of their game. You can argue that both are influential. I would argue one of them is not nearly as influential, but I'll leave that to your imagination. And I was looking at it in the sense that you have these two guys having this monster moment. One of them is always one of them is consistently the most interesting person in his field, in like most fields, honestly. And one of them just proves to be like, it once again is coming through with like something that's rather boring. So it's like, how do you deal with culture and celebrity when it's just, I don't know. The Drake album's not good. Sorry.
All that, I was like, where are we getting
I'm
here?
It was.
You can have an opinion. It's okay.
I did reviews. So I guess I can say that I have like the, I don't have to be unbiased as in the reporter sense, but yeah, it's just that Drake is so boring, man. I'm the opposite of Utah Jazz. I do not get it. I saw a tweet that described.
I
saw a tweet that described Drake as like Drake sounds like khaki, like the color.
I think sometimes, yeah.
It's just so boring when like you have to. So if you're engaged in the music space, you have to engage with every Drake release, and it's so boring that the narrative every time is like, yeah, Drake's pretty good at making music, but like it's pretty boring.
You know what I think? Now, being kind of an outsider, I'm not in the music. As an outsider, I actually think Drake is overrated and underrated at the same time. I think people who like him probably like him a little, say he's better than he actually is.
Sure.
And the people who don't like him say that he is worse than he actually is.
And so it's not like
I liked Scorpion. I thought it was a good album.
It had
think it was. Yeah, exactly. There were some songs I skipped through, but overall, I thought it was better than Kid Cudi's album. I thought it was better than Kanye's album. I enjoyed both of them. I enjoyed Scorpion better than either of those.
Really?
I did. Yeah.
I mean,
but that's, to me,
I don't think that's a hot take by any means.
I mean, if it's a hot take or not, to me, you're at a different level than I am. Just listen to it and
That's like kind of the weird thing about music criticism too, is like we're all on the same level.
It's all
art. Like how you engage with the music. It's as long as you, I just, so the thing about, God, you're getting me to go on a tangent. It's like when I brought up the NBA draft.
I was going to say this is payback.
Jeez. So it,
you look flustered too,
Drake.
You're trying. I see all the thoughts in your head and you can't.
If you look at it through a pop vein, Drake is fine. But if you look at it through what hip-hop traditionally is meant to do, and then you frame it with who he gets compared to most, I do not understand how anyone could say that. And this is like so like, oh, like backpack white hip-hop kid. Like, you can't compare him to somebody like Kendrick Lamar, who made like To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, his impact is nowhere near that of his peers when he's just making pop. The best songs Drake makes are pop songs. Like, Drake makes incredible pop songs. But like the whole like March 14th song, that was incredibly messy. He made an album that was like quasi dedicated to his son about how he hates his son's mother. Or like how he feels like kind of weird about like the... It's like, I'm just so confused by Drake.
Genuine question.
Yeah.
Does Kendrick Lamar get the publicity, the mainstream publicity he gets without Drake? I'm not saying that like Drake is LeBron of, you know, flipping it, but I do think since Drake has a hip-hop, you can almost say, I'm going to create a word. Mm. Maybe it's not a word, but I've never heard of it. A hip-pop kind of sound, people were warmed up to Drake. Oh, I like this. What else is in it? Even though people think it's hip-hop, and I don't think it's very much, it's not like Kendrick Lamar hip-hop. They're like, oh, let me look at other hip-hop artists, and then they are introduce themselves into Kendrick Lamar. I don't know. I'm genuinely asking you.
I think, and maybe you could argue this is coming from a place of like bias, like not wanting to give too much credit, but I do think Drake had an impact in that. But I also think it comes at a time where streaming happened. Rap music has always been like, rap music had to be the most torrented brand of music of all time. So like, you weren't seeing rap's numbers rise because people just weren't buying it. That doesn't mean people weren't listening to it. So with the rise of streaming, I think you saw the true, and streaming is definitely inflated now, but that's like that's neither here nor there. You saw the rise of hip hop getting its due in the mainstream at the same time as Drake is the biggest artist. So I think inevitably he's the jumping off point to a lot of people, but I think it would have happened regardless. And you kind of see that with like Migos, but then again, Drake was on the Versace remix. So I would say he probably opened the door for some rappers.
I think he opened the door for some people to listen to more rap.
Right. And I don't necessarily think that means, like, because Drake opened the door doesn't mean that Kendrick wouldn't have gotten to this level without Drake. It just means it probably happened a little bit faster. And people were more accepting to, like, some of the extreme ideals of Kendrick Lamar. Whereas before they would have been like, people weren't that accepting to, like, the Tribe Called Quest deep cuts.
Right.
They just, like, can I kick it? So
I think, yeah, much like Kevin Durant going to Golden State was made easier through LeBron's decision, doesn't mean he wouldn't have went.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's, you know, Drake is so mainstream that I think maybe some people are like, and that would be great. I think that would be great if people are like, oh, I like Drake, let me try to explore other hip hop avenues. I think it would be
probably
helpful.
And Drake should be thankful, be pretty happy with LeBron right now, because the Raptors won't get absolutely destroyed by him every year in the playoffs.
I think, like, but Drake likes the bandwagon, though, so.
No. Drake's a Raptors guy. He's at all the home games.
Well, yeah, but he
almost got in, like, a fist fight with Kevin Durant one year.
I feel, though, like,
remember that?
Drake's, like, reputation, though, was, like, just.
Well, like, the Kentucky thing. Like, yeah. He went Drake's had an interesting.
I think he is a Raptors fan, but I think
he's from
Toronto. Yeah, of course, yeah. But I think if LeBron's going to give him courtside seats to.
I don't think. LeBron and him are boys, I guess.
They did the soundtrack, right, for his LeBron's More Than a Game movie documentary.
Oh, did they?
The Forever.
Okay. Okay.
That was off that soundtrack.
Is that a Sprite connection?
I don't know.
Might be a Sprite connection. Anyway, we're past the point where
past the point of people aren't paying attention. We're talking about Sprite and hip-hop and LeBron. So,
yeah. But
this was a good. I like this one.
Yeah, no, this was good. I mean, impactful. Yeah, sports is like a broken system, and it's nice to see people kind of ignore the like weird rules that come with it. I think that's my take.
My take is hope you'll have us back.
Hope you'll have us back.
Boom.
Spend the bubble.
I've nailed it the last couple
of
times.
You've got it down now. You're doing a bit. It's getting annoying. Let us know if it's getting annoying in Mike's DMs.
Montana's DMs are open.
Yeah, they probably are. I don't know. All right, we're out.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.